just believe in this place that this morning, if you've been looking for something, you've had a void in your life, a hole in your heart, you just can't figure out what it is, I believe today you'll notice that it is Jesus. He's all that we need, that when we center our lives around Jesus, when we give everything to Him, Jesus is joy, Jesus is peace, Jesus is life, Jesus is everything that we might need. Jesus is everything we need. So in this place, Lord, I just pray, God, that we would just open our hearts, give you every room of our heart, that we wouldn't close a door off to you and say, no, Jesus, you can't go in there. But God, I pray that we would open our hearts up to you, from our hearts to the heavens. Jesus, you be the center of it all, because it's all about you, God, because we know that without you, we have nothing, and with you, we have everything. It's all about you in this place, Lord. It's all about you in this worship. It's all about you in this song. It's all about you in this church. It's all about you in our lives. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all to you and it's all through you, Father. We love you, God, and we thank you for who you are in this place. Before we sit down, I want to read to you this scripture, and it's found in Luke. God, just look at it with me. It says, As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Have we ever been there before? Yes. Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Let's pray over this message. God, we just thank you for the words that you put in my heart, God, that they're not my words, because my words can't do nothing, but God, your words can change hearts, change lives, move mountains, Father, whatever we're facing, God, because Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And so, Lord, I pray today that during this message that we would just center our thoughts, center our lives around you. We love you, God, and we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you guys say amen? You can have a seat. Well, I just want to say, I know we've already said it like 12 times, but happy Mother's Day to all of you mamas out there. All of the children in here are just so blessed to have mothers like you. And I'm going to say, keep saying mothers, because fathers, your day has not come yet. Today is Mother's Day. But, you know, have you ever had mothers, and not even just mothers, but any one of you in this place, have you ever had a day that's just chaotic, that's just crazy? For example, my life right now, our children are amazing, but when children come into your life, that means that you have to die to yourself, basically. And what I mean by that is we just took our daughter Charlie's pass away about 2 weeks ago, and she is so strong-willed that she's going to be a great leader one day, but she cries all the time for it. Passy, I want my passy, I want my passy. And she cries when she goes down for a nap. She cries during the night, and then she'll fall asleep. But if she wakes up, then she cries for it again in the middle of the night. And then, now that the sun starts to come up around 5:20, 5:30, our kids are bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. They're like 5:45, ready to go, coming into our room, jumping on our bed. And we're like, hi, you're such a blessing. I love you. Can we please go back to sleep? And it's great. It's wonderful. It's trying. And not only that, the last week, we actually got up, had breakfast, got everything ready and done by 6:30. We were on it. I wanted to cry inside. But I love sleep. God knows I love sleep, and my husband knows I love sleep, because when I don't get sleep, I get a little cranky. Anybody else get a little cranky when they don't have sleep? I'm so glad I'm not alone. Thank you. And not only that, when we fix breakfast and then we get the kids their milk or their water or whatever you give them, and then after that you clean up from breakfast, you have to do the dishes, sweep the floor. I have to sweep the floor because if we eat cereal, or really if we eat anything, it always ends up on the floor. And so you're cleaning the kids off because they're all dirty. And so then by that time, you have to brush their teeth, make them use the bathroom, change their diapers, all this great. Can you tell that I'm in a young stage? We still have diapers. Thank you, Lord, for diapers. So seriously. And then after that, it's snack time. You get them, they're like, fruit snacks, and you're like, no, I want you to have an apple. I don't want an apple. And you're like, well, we're gonna get an apple anyways, or you don't get nothing. And then you keep going, and you're like, you're gonna have water, but I don't want water, I want milk. And then you're just sitting there like, okay, well, you're gonna get water, you're not gonna get milk, and you're constantly, you know, on your toes, because they're keeping you on your toes. And then you're like, don't do that, you need to share. Sharing is not caring, Mom. And I'm like, corner, go to timeout. And then I'm like, okay, are you ready to get out of timeout? Do you understand what happened? I don't want to get out of timeout. I was like, okay, Lord, we need help here. Give us wisdom. I'm about to go crazy. And then it becomes lunchtime, and then you're fixing food all over again. You get it all ready, and then they're not wanting to eat, and you're trying the plane, the choo-choo train, the plane, all of these little things to try to get them to eat. They're not eating. They're spitting it out. They're throwing it on the floor, and you're like, okay, you finally get it all done. You clean up, clean the floor again, and then you realize, I haven't even eaten lunch yet. So then you eat lunch, and then it's great because the glorious time of the day has now come, and it's called nap time. Can I get an amen? Yes. All these mamas in here like, I get you, girl, own that. And then the funnest part of all is that they don't want to go to sleep. And then you're like, okay, I didn't even get my God time in this morning because you decided to get up at 5:45. You know I need God time, so I need to get my Bible out, and you want me to read so I don't go crazy all up in here. And then they finally get up from nap time, and the one that you're trying to potty train that doesn't want to get potty trained takes their diaper off in the middle of nap time and then slings it everywhere. Great to know that there's poop everywhere. You already cleaned up their room before they went to take a nap, and then you got to clean up everything else, and that is not very fun. And my husband, when he comes home, even if I try to talk to him about it, he's like, ugh. I was like, you know what? It's all good. I took care of it. It's all good. You get all the dirty diapers from this moment forward for today. I've checked out. I'm done. And then the favorite part comes. You got dinner time, and you work so hard. If you're like me, I struggle even doing recipes. That's just my life. If it's like a quarter of a cup, I'm like, I don't even know how much that is. Can someone come in here? Rachel Ray, I need your help. And so you're working super hard, and you got like flour on your face and all the stuff, and then you get it all ready and you put it on the table, and then my youngest daughter Charlie goes, throws it, and it hits the floor, and it's just like you just saw something so priceless just shatter before your eyes. And you're like, child, I have worked so hard on this, you will eat it or you will go to bed hungry. And you're sitting there, and I've cleaned the floor already 3 times that day, so I just scoop it up, put it back in the bowl, and give it to her. I mean, anybody else do that? And then comes bath time. Anybody else have kids that throw the water from inside the tub into on the floor outside the tub? And I have had a moment before when I hit it, and then you like hit the floor. That's real fun because the kids think it's really funny, even though you're crying. And it's great. All the water from inside the tub somehow comes outside the tub. And then the best time of the day, I love them so much, but you get to go night-night. Who's excited about night-night? Because I am. And then you're done. And literally, when I mean done, you're like done. You want to go to sleep at 8 o'clock at night. You're like, who am I now that I want to go to sleep at 8 o'clock at night? And I don't know what your craziness looks like. I don't know if your job makes you feel just as crazy as I felt cleaning up poop. I don't know if your teacher drives you crazy. I don't know if homework makes you go crazy. I don't know if whatever you're facing makes you go crazy. But I want to ask us, how do we stay centered, which is grounded, rooted, rested, peaceful emotionally when we're going through the chaos of life? And I pose to you the statement that it, in order for us to stay centered in our life, it depends on what our life is centered around. You know, centered means to be grounded, to be restful, to be at peace emotionally. And then what we center our life around is what our mind and time goes into, what our mind and our thoughts are completely centered around, what takes up our time, what takes up our stress, or what takes up all these things. That's what our life is centered around. And so if we look back at that previous scripture that we read earlier, it says this in verse 41, "But the Lord said to her, 'My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her.'" So he says, Mary, why are you worried and upset over all these details? So the first point is this: details. What are all your details? Maybe you're like me, and you're a stay-at-home mom, and your life is consisted of taking the kids to school, getting a call from the kids' teacher saying that they're misbehaving, and then you feel really bad, and then you got another parent-teacher conference that you've already faced like 5 times, and then you're picking them up from school. Maybe it's your job, and you feel like you never stop going to work because when you come home, your phone is still on and you always feel like you're on call and it's taking up so much of your time, so much of your thoughts. Maybe you're that person who is just so engulfed around the good things in life, like Instagram or Netflix or any type of social media. But really, it can consume our thoughts because it's crazy how we're so much more concerned about what someone else is doing or what someone else's life looks like, and we start competing and we start compromising our standards because we want to be more like them or we want to look more like them. Maybe it's you who is so engulfed and centered around fitness that you always want to, you want to lose weight, so you're like, I can't eat this, I can't do that. I'm probably not going to go hang out there because there's going to be brownies and I might die. You start to, that's my life. If there's any chocolate around, I'm like, Lord, take me now. It's true. But we get so centered around that that it becomes something that that determines our if we're beautiful or not by the how much we weigh or how skinny we are or how much we lose weight or how handsome we are, how cut we are, how many guns we have. I'm telling you that sometimes we can be so centered around that that it takes all of our thoughts and it actually determines how we think about ourselves. And if you're like me and my husband, sometimes when we face hard things in life, whether it's our children trying to learn how to parent, it's our first time, you know? We're trying to learn. I hear each stage has its own challenges. And not only that, we're also trying to parent the church, and we're trying to put out fires that might be going on. And times when you're fighting spiritual battles for your own life, and then you need to step up and take someone else's arms and help them fight their battles, it's nothing like it. It's the most amazing feeling to be able to help someone, but it also can be very hard if we try to take it all on our own shoulders. And so when those times come, we can be very snappy. We can argue at a drop of a hat, even if it's over a McDonald's cup. I don't know. Ask me how we come up with an argument about a McDonald's cup. I don't even know. It just happens. And we can snap, and we can be at each other's throats, and we can hurt each other. We can say hard things. And then not only that, we just want to sleep because we're so tired. We're emotionally just exhausted and wiped. And that's actually a sign of a start of depression because we want to seclude ourselves and we want to just go to sleep because going to sleep just shuts our minds off, shuts everything off. We realize that Jesus is saying to us, why are you so worried and so upset over all these details? Because he's saying to her that Mary has found the one thing to be concerned about. And why Jesus says that is the one thing that we should be concerned about is because he wants us to put everything at his feet. Because there's only one person in control. Either you are or God is. Who is it in your life? What are all these details? What are all these details? All these details might not even be bad things. They can be great things. They can be good things. Like, my husband's a great thing. But we have this running joke in our house because we both know that God's number one and we're number two, that he calls me his little poop. And obviously, you know that we talk about poop a lot in our house, because even Avery named her first goldfish Poop, little Poopy. We need some prayer, guys. We need to get the poop out of our lives. And anyways, but for real, we know that our husbands, our children, our jobs are great things, but we also have to realize that when we put them and weigh them with the Lord, that we need to see, okay, is God here, or is my details above him? And therefore, we know what our one thing is in our life, if it's God or if it's not. I love what it said in Philippians 3, verse 8, says, I count everything as loss compared to the priceless privilege and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, and of growing more deeply and thoroughly acquainted with him, a joy that's unequaled. For his sake I have lost everything, and I consider it garbage so that I may gain Christ. That he is supreme, that everything that he is, it's a joyful, there's no joy that can come close to knowing Jesus. It's a privilege to know Jesus. And so we see here in our main scripture that in verse 39 it says, her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. There, in verse 42, it says, there's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her. So she discovered it how? By verse 39, sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to what he taught. Sitting down is great, because sitting down means you're resting. Sitting down gives you a moment to refocus, to recenter your focus on Jesus, our one thing. And say, okay, we got all these details going on in our life, because we all know that we can't neglect our kids, we can't neglect our jobs, we can't just sit down and not do anything for the rest of our lives, except I'm in the presence of God. But we have to do those things. But how? There's some things that we can remove, but there's also things that we have to do. And so how do we sit down? First, we have to create that time. If you have a crazy schedule, sit down. You gotta create time to sit down. And what I mean by that, like if my life, me and my husband, you are my Sean, yeah. And thank you. That's right. And we would get up at 6 a.m. every morning, and we would do our God time, because the girls would get up around 6:30, 6:45. Well, that went out the window about 2 weeks ago. And our house has been a little crazy since then, but we've had to create that time to sit down. So when it's their nap time, I either turn off the monitor, the volume, because Avery's like, Mom, 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 I don't want to go to sleep. I'm like, just lay there, you'll be fine. And I have to create that time for me to sit down and recenter, because Lord knows I need him in my life before I go crazy and start pulling out my hair and throwing dishes and stuff. Even though we use paper plates, it's still the same thing. And we have to create that time. So what that might look like for you is, even if it's in the morning and your kids are already up, go to the bathroom, lock the door, tell them they're not welcome. And I have to lock the door if I want any privacy. And so get your phone out. There's an app called YouVersion, YOUVersion. It's a free app. It has all the Bible translations on there. It also has plans, which if you're dealing with something in your life, you're like, oh, I want to know more how to read the Bible. There's a plan for that. How to read the Bible, how to be in the presence of God, how to sit at his feet. There's plans that take you through that. Because the thing is that all of us in here that might know how to do a plan or might know how to read our Bible, we all know that at one time we didn't know how to do that. So it's essential for all of us to hear this and to be reminded and to, like I said, create that time. And now, like I said, we're going to have to do the laundry. We're going to have to clean the dishes. We're going to have to do our job. We're going to have to make copies at the copy machine. But the thing is, it says in the Bible is to pray at all times and pray on every occasion. And I think a great way to do that, pray while you're doing the laundry. Pray while you're washing the dishes. I think I probably pray while doing the dishes or laundry just because I hate it. And I'm like, God, I just thank you for every single piece of clothes that I have to fold, every single dish. You know, I'm trying to get my heart right. I'm trying to get my attitude in the right place, because we all know that us mothers, we like control the atmosphere. So if we're cranky, everyone's cranky. And story of my life when I have to fold clothes. And so we're trying to do that. Another thing that I do is, if you're at home, Or even at work, if you can, you can put like worship music on. That changes the atmosphere. It just refocuses and centers your life around the goodness of God. Like that song we just sang, you are good, good, oh Lord. No matter what you face in your life, you can be reminded that God is good. Even when your things are going crazy, God is good. Even when you're stressed out, God is good. Even when things in your life happen that are bad, you know that God will work it for good. God is good. God is good. And we wrap and center our mind around that, and things change because we're centering Jesus in the middle over a chaos instead of at the back end of it. He can help us through it if we sit down and if we rest at his feet. That's what Mary was doing, is she was just resting in the presence of God, listening to what he taught. And what Jesus taught is all right here. So if you don't know what it is, get this out. It's like an open book test, which I still failed in school, but it is the truth. That's the truth, that I did fail the test, but this is a better test, and I haven't failed that one, hopefully. I do at times, but that's where we find it all at. And sitting at the feet of Jesus is called rest. We just rest. Make him the center. Even in the chaos, we can rest. I don't want to get into something really quick that I just want to dissect, like, super quick for you, but I need you to lean in and don't lose it. Like, don't lose your focus here. Stay centered. And in Genesis 2, if you can read it with me, on the seventh day, this is after God has made the whole universe at the beginning of time. It says, on the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation. So he rested from all his work. So in the Old Testament, so we have two testaments of the Bible, the Old and the New. And the Old Testament, all the people were required to go by the law. And the law had all these laws that they had to follow. And the law was created to show that we needed Jesus because we are sinners in need of a savior. And so this law had that on the seventh day, no one could work. Like no one in their family, you couldn't do anything. You had to respect this day. And it was called the Sabbath day. And it all originated from when God did his work, saw it was finished, and he rested on the seventh day. So in Exodus 20, this is what this law says in verse 8. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons, your daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock. That's crazy to me. And foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. And so all these laws, this was just one of them. And it says in the Bible that Jesus came to fulfill the law so that we didn't have to work and keep all these laws to be saved. But Jesus saying, all you have to do is believe in me. I did the work. I died on the cross. I did it. I was the only one who could do it. And I love this because this is what it says in Colossians 2:16 through 17. It says, so do not let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. So it's like, so don't let anyone condemn you if you don't celebrate the Sabbath. For these rules, which were the law, only are shadows of the reality yet to come, and Christ himself is that reality. So he's saying here that in the New Testament, since Jesus has come and fulfilled the law, that even though we might work 6 days a week, and that God's saying, hey, Jesus is your Sabbath, then when you surrender your life to him and you center everything you do in him, it might be chaotic, it might be storming, the waves might be raging, but God is saying, hey, my son is your rest. And every single moment and every single time you want to scream and every single time you need patience, center your life around Jesus, because you're centering your life and resting, putting it in his hands. You're taking it off of your shoulders and putting it at the feet of Jesus. And that's what resting is. And it's saying, hey, Jesus is your Sabbath. Jesus is your rest. We just have to sit at the feet of Jesus, refocus our life, and center ourselves around Jesus, where we can rest in the chaos and be centered in life. Worship team, you can come up at this time. And I want to just push this a little further. In Matthew 11, verse 28, it says, then Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I love that earlier it says that her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to all he taught. And then it says here in Matthew 11, let me teach you, and I will give you rest. There's times that we can sit in the presence of God and be at his feet. And in the times that we're up and surrounded by all this chaos, he's saying, center your life around me, because I will give you rest for your souls. I'll give you rest in your mind. I'll give you rest when you're waiting for that biopsy to come back, if it's negative or positive. I'll be there when you've lost it all. I'll be there if you're like my mom, and I told this story. If you're like her, she was married for 13 years to an amazing man who preached the gospel, who was amazing. But he reverted back to his old lifestyle, went back into drugs. She lost her home. She lost her car. She lost all her money. She literally lost $60,000 worth of 401k because he stole it all. And you know what she's focused on? That when she opens her eyes in the morning and she can see that she's sleeping in a different home that's not her, what she would classify as her home, she can be centered around unforgiveness. She can be centered around bitterness. She can be centered around hate and anger. But when she opens her eyes, she takes a moment and centers herself around hope. She centers herself around restoration for what the enemy tried to steal. God will restore back to me. If you're in that place today, I encourage you, take that moment that when you want to get angry, when you want to get bitter, when you want to cry and have a pity party, which is not wrong, but don't just stay in it. Take that moment to center around your life that God is good. Center around your life that he is for you. Center around your life that he is there. You know, when I was growing up, every one of us probably heard in school about our solar system. And when I was growing up, we had 9 planets. Somehow something happened to the last one. Now they reclassified it as a dwarf planet because it's so small. It's still a planet to me. So we have 9 planets, everyone. You're welcome. And I love this because every planet orbits, and the only way that it stays in space without jetting off into outer space and disintegrating is because they're circling and revolving and centering themselves around the sun. And the sun is so vast in its gravitational pull that it keeps all the planets in orbit on its axis, and it keeps it rotating. And not only that, the sun, because we are centering and circling, the earth is circling around the sun, that we can have life here on earth, that is, we're just a perfect amount of way that we can have life, that we can breathe, that we don't burn up. And about to get cheesy in here, but when we take our lives and we orbit and revolve around the Son of God, that we will be able to be stable. We will be able to be grounded. We will be able to experience freedom. We'll be able to experience life because he died to give us life. We can experience truth because we know that joy is not based off what happens in our circumstances. Joy is based off what we know. And we know that God is good. We know that he is for us. We know that he will give us peace. We know that he will restore us. We know that we can have confidence in who he is in our life, that he loves us. We can be confident in that love. So some of you in here that has low self-esteem and you have rejection issues because someone has completely rejected you over time and time again, know that your God will never reject you. Know that your God has never forsaken you. He is always with you. We can center our lives around the fact, because when we orbit around the sun, all these things orbit around our lives. So this morning, we're going to go into this next song. It's the same one we sang before we started the message. And it says, from my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. So let's stand up and let's sing it. Because from my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about. Come on. From my heart. to the heavens. Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. 'Cause from my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. 'Cause from my heart to the heavens, it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. Yeah, it's all about you. It's all about you. From our hearts to the heavens, it's all about Jesus in this place. And what I love about Jesus is that he encourages us and challenges us to center ourselves around him. Because of what he did for us on the cross, is he gave us all of these things so that we could have a life of freedom. And he just wants that for us if we just accept it. And I love that when he challenges us to center ourselves around him, because I love how Jesus already goes before us and does that himself. Because while he was here on this earth, he says, whatever you see the Father doing is what I'm doing. Whatever the Father is speaking, I'm speaking. He centered his life around the will of the Father. And the whole purpose, the whole reason that Jesus came on this earth is for you. It was for me. His whole purpose was centered around you and me. His whole purpose on the cross was centered around getting you and me in right standing with God, that we could have a relationship with him. His love, his purpose, it says that we were the joy set before him as he endured the cross. You and me, that every time a nail would be jabbed into his hand and jabbed and hammered, every ache, every pain, he's like, oh, that's for them, that's for them, that's for them. Every punch in the face, every spit in the face, every blood that was dripping down his face from the crown of thorns as he wore it as mockery, he said, that's for them, that's for them. Forgive them, Lord, for they don't know what they're doing. Every act of love on the cross, every act of love as he got whipped on his back, circled around you and circled around me. Isn't that such a great Savior? He died with so much love in his heart for the same person that nailed the nail into his hand. So if that's you, in every eye closed in this place, that's never experienced this love, that's never experienced this confidence, that never experienced this joy, that's never experienced this freedom, never experienced Jesus, today you can. Center your life around him, and all these things, peace, joy, love, will center around you. So everyone in this place, with all eyes closed, let's pray this prayer together. And those of you who want to decide to follow Jesus for the first time, mean it with everything you are, with everything you have. So let's say it. Say, Jesus, I see you centering yourself around me, that you love me, that the cross was centered for me. All love poured out for me. You value me. And right now, I want to center my life around you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. It's all about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.